Which means that it's only appropriate that we should get prepared for the month of Ramadan. And preparation for every individual is different in a sense that everyone's requirement is very, very different. For some it may be, as I mentioned last week, less texting. For some it will be less television viewing. For others it will be, inshallah, I can't say less cheating, but the elimination of cheating and deception. Every individual can refine themselves and need to refine themselves in a different way. Backbiting, gossiping, lying, cheating, all these things should not be done to begin with. However, an individual has to become more cognizant of what they are all about. You know, there is a saying, when a person points a finger at someone else, there are three fingers that are pointing back at yourself. This is so very true. You will notice every time you want to correct someone else, you will realize the thing that you want to correct in someone else is possibly three times more in you. And you dislike what that person is doing because you know that you are more involved in that action than someone else. Yet it hurts for us to acknowledge, yes, I'm also a liar, I'm also a cheater, I'm also a person that does wrong, I'm also a person that suffers from, or I need anger issues resolved, deception issues resolved. It hurts us so much. As one brother was saying, he says, I used to be involved in doing counseling. And let's say the area of counseling was the area of anger management. Eventually I had to stop doing counseling in anger management because I realized more than my patients, I had a problem with anger. Imagine, more a man who's doing counseling in anger management for let's say 20 years is saying, I have a bigger problem with anger issues than others. In other words, when they come and give me their problem, I learn how to become more angry from them. That's what it means. And this is the reality. And this is what we all are going through. That we all have something that we need to put right in our life. That is why Rasulullah taught us something very important. When he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, he acknowledged to all people, Muslims, non-Muslims, Christians, Jews, Ya ayyuhan nas, nas is everyone. He didn't say, Ya ayyuhan ladina amanu, O you who believe. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, every individual out there, I'm going to make a confession to you. Imagine. Now, how many times will we make this confession? If we make this confession, I actually heard one person say, this young fellow, he says, I don't remember when last I committed a sin. So I don't know if I need to make tawbah. Imagine. A young fellow says, I don't know when last I committed a sin. I don't know. In other words, if there is a need for me to make tawbah. That's what he said. And you ask anybody here, did you commit a sin today? No, I didn't. Who's going to say they committed a sin? Yet, if we were to seek perfection in our lives, like for example, if someone tells them to give you a dollar raise, I need perfection in something, and a dollar raise, what's a dollar? You'll laugh at a dollar. But yet, 40 hours, $40 a month, 160, I mean $40 a week, 160 in a month, roughly about 2,000 a year. For $2,000, if they told you, I'd like to perfect something in your task, in your job, automatically you will do it. You will not say, no, there's nothing wrong, why do I need to do it? Because we know that extra $2,000 will do such and such favors for us. Likewise, if we were to examine our day from morning to now, chances are, we could have read the Salah, we didn't. Yet, there is a fact. If I offered, or someone offered you $50 a day extra for the Salah, chances are you'll do it. Yet we know full well, a person who performs the Tahajjud Salah and makes special dua, there is a great chance that the dua will not be rejected. Forget about that. How many people lie about reading the Tahajjud Salah and they have not read the Tahajjud Salah? That's amazing. That's even worse. So if you evaluate, then the way in which we get up in the morning, Do we make salam to the one that is closest to us? Do we greet them well? Or are we demanding? Does the person who gets up next to us have this fear? Oh my goodness, let me run to the kitchen first thing. Or do they have this concern? I need to take care of this, this, this before I do that. Our relationship with our children, is it friendly in the morning? Or is it hostile? Is it anxious? Is it running helter-skelter? Get up, do this, do that. You are lazy, you're not getting up on time. How is our dialogue? So what I'm saying, our lives are not perfect. Yet, we will never bring all this to the forefront. From morning to now, we view ourselves as perfect, perfect, perfect human beings. Yet we know, if that was the case, our level of success would be greater than what it is. It's amazing. We think our life is perfect, but we can see the situation we're in right now. It's helter-skelter, it's a mess. So Rasulullah, in other words, coming back to the hadith, he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, tubu ilallah, make tawbah towards Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Because when you ask Allah for forgiveness, you are willing to rectify and change your life. You are acknowledging. The first step, people that go for 12-step programs, those that are part of Gambling Anonymous, those that are part of Cheating Anonymous, all these things they have out there. First thing they will tell you, acknowledge your wrong. Acknowledge your wrong. That is why you notice people that have problems, their problems never come to an end. Whoever it may be, whether it's imams like myself, whoever it is, they will go to a different place. For example, instead of putting my problem right, it's easier for me to go to, for example, let's just say, Tokyo, wherever. But little do I realize, I've got to put right who I am. So the first thing is acknowledgement of a wrong. Sit down and say, I was wrong. I should have not lied. I should have not cheated. I should have not gambled. I should have not changed the data wrongfully in the books, whatever it is. So Rasulullah is saying, Tubu ilallah, make tawbah towards Allah. Acknowledge your wrong and ask for the appropriate forgiveness. Thereafter he says, فَإِنِّي أَكُفِرِي I ask Allah for forgiveness. Fil yawm, in a given day, not in a given week, not in a given month, not in a given year, in a given day. إِلَيْهِ يَتَبَرَّ I ask Allah for forgiveness 100 times in a given day. Why did he do this? And you know the answer very well. It is simple. We know, first of all, regarding Rasulullah, Allah gave him the consolation. Allah gave him the tasalli, the itminan, the tranquility of the heart. Your past, present, future, everything is forgiven. You don't have to worry. You are a man of Jannah. You are the man of Jannah. Because a few others will go into Jannah. Despite that, he used to ask Allah for forgiveness 100 times. Not like me and you when Imam makes salam, we'll shout, Astaghfirullah, every single masha, that guy's very pious. See, he says, Astaghfirullah so loud. And what the ulama say, the louder a person makes istighfar, the length of that person. The louder the person makes istighfar, because either two reasons. One is showing up, or the other is showing his sins. And we know in Sharia, if a person shows his sins in public, in other words, if I had a bad past, I'm not saying, you know, back in the days I used to do this. People like to say, back in the days I used to. The Sharia says, don't talk about back in the days I used to do this and that. We wonder why Sharia says that. And there is a beautiful reason. Now psychologists have brought up to the forefront that if you talk about the evil past, a day will come when you go back to it, because the more you think about it, the more the chance of you going towards it. That is why, many a times, read the works of Imam Nawawi. He makes it very clear. In fact, there are hadith regarding this. If you used to commit sin in a given area, go to another area and live. Or if you cannot move to another area, and you used to commit a sin in a given street, use a different street. So that way you will not be tempted to go back to that wrong. Not to give you, I don't like to give bad examples, but people that get divorced and they marry someone else, did you know that in their life there is a greater chance of them cheating with their ex-wife in a state of non-marriage? Why? Because that is what they are used to. That is what they used to see. They know exactly what's that person's weakness, that person knows what's your weakness. It's something that psychologists have brought up as well. So we have to not just shout istighfar or talk about our past sins. Don't talk about it, take it, bury it, and get done with it, number one. And number two, make the istighfar like Rasulullah used to make, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how he used to make it? With the heart, the limbs, the body. In other words, from the internal side, from the heart. Because the heart is what needs to be reformed, not just the tongue. If the heart is reformed, the tongue, the hand, and everything comes right. And if the heart is not reformed, it will all remain only on the tongue. Therefore, Rasulullah taught us something very important, that he used to make the sincere tawbah 100 times a day. As far as he and you are concerned, as our teachers used to tell us, unfortunately, even our tawbah needs a tawbah. Because while we are making that tawbah, we are thinking of other people's sins in our tawbah. Imagine, I'm saying astaghfirullah, oh Allah save me from lying, and I'm thinking of somebody else's lies. Oh Allah save me from selling haram things, and I'm thinking, but the other brother is selling haram things. So I'm making a tawbah to reform someone else. Imagine, I'm making a tawbah to reform someone else. Is that a tawbah? That's the height of arrogance. The height of arrogance is, I will ask Allah, and I'll pick on someone else. So why are we talking about this? Because we are getting ready for the month of Ramadan. And one of the first steps for the month of Ramadan is acknowledging a person's wrong and getting ready for the month of Ramadan. So when the month of Ramadan comes, we can truly appreciate it for what the month is all about. That is why the Quran says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And beg of Allah. Beg of Allah what? To forgive you all. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. That means we have to make tawbah for ourselves. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. And also make a sincere tawbah for all believers. Dead or alive. It says here, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. It says, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. It didn't just say for those that are believing and alive only. For those that have passed away in the state of Iman, it is our duty. One of the best things we can say for those that have passed away is, oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, give them Jannah for those. Oh Allah, forgive them. Oh Allah, grant them that which is good. And the more we think of others, Allah will appoint people to think of us, inshallah, when we pass away. So the first thing, before we get ready, last week we spoke about different things. This week we're speaking about different things as we get ready for the month of Ramadan. The first is sincere tawbah. Tawbah from the heart. If you had a problem with a sister, a problem with a brother, let me tell you very clearly, you are not, based on Hadith and Quran, you are not going to enjoy your Ramadan. Write it down with blood, ink, whatever you wish. You are not going to get the benefit of Ramadan until you put your conflict right between your brother, between your sister, between your child, between your parents. That's it. Come with your excuse. Tell me your justification, how he used to beat you up, and how he used to slap you, and all those things. Tell me all you wish. Alhamdulillah. I'll sympathize with you and say, yes, brother, you're right. Yes, brother, you're right. Because I don't argue with you. If I argue with you, then you'll say the Imam is very hard, very rough. The Imam doesn't understand my situation. Okay, I understand your situation. You are right. Even though you are right. Now go and put your relationship right with those that are closest to you. Because the thing that is going to prevent your heart from attaining perfection is the one's heart who you have broken that was closest to you. Brother, sister, child, parent, etc. And there's not only something for you to do, for me to do as well. All the ulama talk about this in tasawwuf programs. All the ulama talk about this in programs of self-affirmation. First, put your house right. Immediate house, and then the house of your family. Because if you're not going to do that, the month of Ramadan will come, the month of Ramadan will go, and I guarantee you, you're going to have the same talk next year this time, and the same emotions that are going through your mind today is going to go through your mind next year as well. Number two, we have to learn the importance of dua as we get ready for the month of Ramadan. If we cannot learn the art of making dua right now, we are not going to fully learn the art of it in the month of Ramadan. And you have to know, Shaitan is going to start sending out his breeze while he's locked up by telling you, yes, 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 27th night dua is very important, go to the masjid. So you're going to wait from now all the way to the 27th night for the main dua to come. And somehow you're going to think that's the dua that is to be accepted. Shaitan is playing a game with you, he's playing a game with me. You have to start getting ready for the month of Ramadan with making dua from now. And don't depend on someone else to make dua for you. That someone else got his own or her own issues. That someone else has someone there possibly also asking to make dua. There is nothing wrong with asking people to make dua. Absolutely nothing wrong. But the dua, before you ask others, first you have to start making it yourself. And start appreciating the art of making dua yourself. Once we appreciate making dua ourselves, then when somebody else makes dua, we learn how to add on things to our own dua. So dua becomes a learning experience and a form of development. But first it starts with ourselves. So as the ulama have said, first we, before we make dua, we praise Allah, we praise Rasulullah, we lift our hands with humility. For example, the feet have a direction, it's Qibla. The hands and the palms also have a direction for dua. And it is supposed to be like this, not like that, not like that, not like that. It's simple, like this. Fingers slightly open. You don't have to be very fixated like this. No, no. Yes, level, hands facing the palms facing the sky, sometimes a little bit like this, or a little bit like that, and thereafter you ask Allah. This is the adab of making dua, what the ulama have taught us. So you praise Allah, you praise Rasulullah, thereafter, what do? You acknowledge your wrongs. Oh Allah, I was wrong in this and this, and I ask for your forgiveness. Thereafter you make dua for your parents, for your children, for loved ones. Thereafter, you make dua for the community. Thereafter, you make dua on a national level. Thereafter, you make dua on an international level for all believers. Thereafter, you say, oh Allah, you have given me so much. Despite you giving me so much, I still have a weakness. I need such and such, or would like such and such things fulfilled. And oh Allah, if you feel it beneficial that I should get it, then oh Allah, the all is granted to me. And of course, thereafter, once again, you praise Allah. You send salutation upon Rasulullah, and thereafter you end your dua. Do you think a person who used this step of making dua will not get the dua accepted? And the ulama also have said, before you make the dua, make a pledge. Oh Allah, I will give $5 in sadaqah to a poor person. Oh Allah, I have a difference with so and so. Make it such, I will give that person a meal. Oh Allah, I have issues with so and so. Oh Allah, give them whatever they need. And try to get something across to them, especially if they are needy. Do you think if you help a poor person, your du'as will not be accepted? So number one, sincere repentance. Number two, making du'a. Number three, rejoicing indeed that the month of Ramadan is coming. Number four, discharge your obligations that have taken place from last year, Ramadan, to this Ramadan. In other words, if you had and you owe people money, try to, how can you attain beauty in the month of Ramadan if you're getting people's curses? It's beyond. You are cheating, you are lying, you are playing the books. all the, how can, especially those that do it in the month of Ramadan, how can you attain the beauty of Ramadan? So, if you owe someone money, then acknowledge and tell them, look, I owe you. Why don't we extend the debt a little bit longer? For those men and women that did not, for example, last Ramadan, this some fast, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to, before the coming of the next Ramadan, in the month of Sha'ban, she start making up the fast that she owed. So whatever fast she owed for last year, immediately, because now she knows the month of Ramadan is coming, how could I have waited? And immediately she starts making up whatever she had missed. In today's time, the tradition is to wait till you're 65, like as though there's some justification. So if you owe for last year, whether it was due to sickness or whatever, now it's a time to make it up to the best of our ability. Because otherwise, you'll be owing for last year, you'll be owing possibly for this year, and it doesn't come to an end. Then when you pass away, you make a call. Imam, my mother owed 500 fast, what must she do now? How much charity must she give? Then I'm going to ask, was she well or was she sick? No, she was in good health, but she just forgot. Amazing. The jewelry she had, that she didn't forget who she must give it to. That she remembered very well. Which daughter-in-law going to get what? Which daughter-in-law will not get anything because she did the least amount of work? Which daughter used to come visit a lot? So how much she's going to get? All that they remember, but fasting they forget. And that's not right. So it says here, discharge your obligations, discharge them before the coming of Ramadan. And to the best of your ability, inshallah, if you can do that, then we will attain the beauty of the month of Ramadan when it comes, inshallah, within the next few weeks. Additionally, as you know, that we will possibly be having a summer program. We need 30 families to sign up. Very few have signed up, about approximately 5 or 7 have thus far shown interest. Many want to come, but they don't want to pay the fees and things like that. So I'm sorry, if iPod and all those things are more important to you to spend your money on, then by all means you can go towards it. If taking your kids towards swimming and other lessons are much more important, then by all means it's your priority and it's your child, we cannot force you to do good. However, those of you that are interested in bringing your children, try to give your name to me after the Jummah Salah, your child will benefit. And inshallah, they will attain a lot of good from those summer activities. As I say, Muslims are looking for an identity, and there is no better time for them to be together than with one another. Again, the choice is yours. We cannot force you to do something you don't want to do. It's an opportunity, it's a benefit. As I say, we pay a little bit to the teachers from there, gas, mileage, etc., etc. That is one of the reasons why we charge. Also, it is for simple food that we give the children and things like that. Number two, Sotul Quran will be having an event once again on the 21st. It's called something to do with Ramadan. And it'll be on the 21st of June. It'll be at a similar place, in fact the same building, but a different room at the University of Utah, a guest house section. Again, those of you that have come, I hope that you will come again. We're trying to get approximately 4 or 5 different speakers, and it's always nice to hear 4 or 5 different speakers, scholars, etc. in one given room sharing their ideas. That way you benefit, they benefit, we get to meet one another. I think it's a very good program, and it is something I think you should make use of, especially considering it's before the month of Ramadan. You may have questions regarding Ramadan. There is no better place to ask it than in that given event to 4 or 5 different people. So I hope you will make time on your schedule to be there on the 21st of June between 5 and 10 p.m. It will take place. Tickets will be sold out here today. Those of you that go to other masjids, you are welcome to take tickets and also sell it to others over there. Again, continue to prepare yourself for the month of Ramadan, and may Allah SWT make it a blessed one for each of us. Somebody sent a prayer request. It says, my uncle, the brother is saying here, Brother Ahmed Iqbal overseas in coma for the last 30 days, and inshallah, we will make dua for him later on, and I hope each one of you will make dua for him and every individual that is going through every type of challenge and difficulty. Wa akhir da'wana.